birthday, America. It is time to celebrate our freedom. But is freedom what we really want? Let's talk about it on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
It is, etc. That is Steve Brown, etc. Minus Steve Brown. Mr. Brown, Dr. Brown is on vacation. Well played, Steve. I am today your guest host. My name is Matthew Porter. I will be your host slash cruise director as we hang out today. Joining me on the Lido deck is our favorite megachurch pastor, Mr. Zach Van Dyke. Hey, Zach.
Hey, wait, where did Steve go? Where can you even go right now?
Nowhere.
Oh, okay.
He just wanted to say
every time he tried to plan something, he found out he couldn't go.
All right, so he really is just didn't want to turn on his computer for an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Might be what that means, okay. Right?
He's sick of us.
Yeah, he's virtually gone.
Right. I wanted to joke that Steve has gone to a better place, meaning like Miami or Hawaii, but don't worry about that.
Okay, Matthew, before you do anything else, I have one question. Did you buy that one cupcake, or did you make Stephanie bake a bunch of them so you'd have a cupcake to put a candle in?
My wife, my dear sweet wife, made that single cupcake for me late last night for that single gag. So, thank you, Stephanie.
Hey, Steph.
It was worth it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, listen, we're going to be talking about 4th of July stuff, but before we get to that, Zach, I know you probably have 4th of July plans, but there's another holiday coming up that I know you're super amped about. That's July 3rd.
Explain
what that is.
Hamilton drops on Disney Plus on July 3rd. So when people are actually listening and watching this, I'll have probably already seen it maybe 15 times, 16 times by then. So
goodbye to Zach for a little while.
Yeah, that's my Independence Day.
That's awesome. Jinx, our producer, is also joining us from his little glass booth. Jinx's favorite.
This is the drywall booth. My glass booth. Yeah.
Yeah. No sneeze shield there. Jinx's favorite founding father is Sam Adams.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to leave that right there. Our video director, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. Had John been around in colonial times, I don't think there would have been a need for Paul Revere. He would have engineered some kind of like text alert kind of thing. Be like,
Blinking house Christmas light things.
Yeah. He would have worked it out with that technology. Like, looks, hey guys, British are coming. Hashtag 2FBC. And then everybody's in bed by midnight. I don't know.
Or text by C and email by
yes.
Or something.
See, that would work.
See,
good.
He could have done it. That is the voice of Dr. George Bingham, who is, he's smart. He's so smart, guys. He knows where Captain Hook got his hook. At the secondhand store.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief.
And it was used to pull Matthew off the stage.
No. Peter Pan cut off his hand and threw it to the crocodile. That's like integral to the story, Matthew.
Is that right?
You can't make a joke that invalidates the story.
Take that, J.M. Barrie.
He could still get his hook at the, yeah. By the way, so I'm guessing you didn't bring enough cupcakes for everybody.
Yours is right here. I'll get it to you when we meet again.
Okay.
And Kathy Wyatt is the soft feminine side of our program.
Speaking of cupcakes.
And big...
Now you're going to get us banned.
That was a good one, Zach.
Let's just go with that one.
Oh my god. No, I want to hear what you said.
Big thank you to Kathy for helping me this week by writing George's intro joke. See, you think it's just a bad joke? No, babies. No.
It had references.
Always working.
Oh man.
So if you haven't captured the tone yet.
While the boss is away, the kids will play.
Yeah, right. You know, well look, it's Freedom Week. By the time you're hearing this, if you're hearing this on the radio or radio, as a family friend from West Virginia says, if you're listening to us on the radio, it is 4th of July weekend. You may be hearing this online, listening to us or watching us. It's time to celebrate. It's happy birthday to us. So the whole hour, we're just going to be hanging out and talking about our favorite country, talking about freedom in general, what that means, what the implications are, and not just talking about freedom, but experiencing, just hanging out and having fun as believers, as I believe we are able to do, if anybody is. I'm curious if we're going to hit a lull at any point. Maybe I'll tell you about my plans to start my own country, but later for that.
Please
later
do. For that.
No, I wanted to kick us off by asking, you know, about you guys growing up. Did you guys have any go-to 4th of July traditions? Is there anything that was like every year? Kathy's nodding. What was your thing?
You know, this is really funny because I grew up in the rather smallish town of Bridgeport, Connecticut. And Bridgeport, Connecticut was the home of P.T. Barnum, the founder of Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Yeah.
And so coordinated with the 4th of July, I'm not sure why they did it coordinated with the 4th of July, but was the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Parade. They chose, you know, he had small stature people, Tom Thumb and Lavinia Warren, that were part of the circus. So little kids competed for that every year. They did a contest for the best female vocalist because he had Jenny Lind. They had a king and queen of the parade. Every high school submitted, you know, a guy and a girl to be the king and queen. And it was huge. I mean, it That's was awesome. Just huge. Everybody went to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey parade on the 4th of July. Didn't really matter what you did after that, how many flags you waved or sparklers or anything, but you did that. It was just amazing. It was so fun. And we, of course, we just thought, this is what everybody does on the 4th of July, not realizing until I got older, oh, wait, you know. And I mean, P.T. Barnum is buried in Bridgeport, Connecticut, you know. I mean, wow. And you know, the other thing that's even cooler than P.T. Barnum is he's buried with this monstrosity of a statue to him and all that kind of stuff. And he's buried not very far away from Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer.
No kidding.
Tiny, tiny little stone. I wish I knew what it said because, you know, the difference between this circus guy and Fanny Crosby, the writer of some of the greatest hymns that we still sing.
Is she a Blessed Assurance? Is that what she wrote?
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. So anyway, that's Bridgeport, Connecticut, and that was really cool. And
that
we
sounds
did
cool.
That. Oh, it was. It was amazing. Then you go out and do the hot dogs and hamburgers and the fireworks and the flags and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Who can beat Kathy's story? Brendan, anybody?
Goes over.
Nope.
No.
No. I mean, I started dating my wife when we were in high school. And once I started dating her, I got invited to their 4th of July, which was always driving up like 13 hours to Savannah, not Georgia, Savannah, Tennessee.
Oh.
I think population 151. And and we would spend a week at her aunt's house, which was just a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house. And it would be all of Kelly's family. So her mom had 5 sisters and they all had kids. And all of us would be in this 1 4-bedroom, 2-bedroom or 2-bathroom house for a week. And the grandmother, who has since passed away, but while she was alive, she would sleep out in the treehouse for the week.
I would too.
She was always cold with
that
the
was
air
self-preservation.
So she went out and she slept out in the treehouse. So
that's awesome.
We did that every year. I mean, my kids went, just in the last couple of years, we stopped going to the aunt's house because it was like 75 people, but and love, you know, people. 8 of them were my children, so or 6 of them were my children. So
I was gonna say, wait, what?
Yeah, no, six. So
you know, I'm from Tennessee, and I don't know where Savannah is.
right, it's very small.
Says something.
It's very small. We would the big treat was going to the Sonic for happy hour.
Yeah,
it probably took the whole hour to feed
cherry
all the
limeade.
Right.
I only discovered cherry limeade in college, and it was the dividing line of existence.
I found it last week.
Oh, do you get it slushy or do you get it on the rocks?
I like on the rocks. Oh, and they got like good slushy. Rocks. I mean, they got good ice, man.
They do have good ice.
Yeah. Jinx, George, you guys got any traditions you do growing up or currently?
As a younger kid.
Over the side.
As a younger kid, you could get fireworks mailed to you.
Are you sure you could?
I am sure.
That's the same time that Lee Harvey Oswald could get the rifle mailed to him.
My uncle would buy all these crazy fireworks, and they would ship in, and we'd shoot them out in the woods. And our fondest memory was the little snappers and the smoke bombs. We were allowed to play with those ourselves. So there was this one older lady in the family, and for some reason, every year we ganged up on her and we threw smoke bombs and snappers underneath her chair, and she'd freak out. But as I got older and we couldn't mail in bombs anymore, I don't know. We didn't do that as much anymore, but it was always a good reason for Dad to smoke his ribs and his sausage. So that's kind of what.
Good stuff.
Are we just moving past the fact that you might have caused a heart attack in this poor old woman's life? Like,
pretty much.
Okay.
Get right over that.
All right.
So freedom and fireworks for me just go hand in hand. I clearly remember throwing off fireworks and nearly blowing them up, and great memories. And that was last year. You know, I should say that. Guys, we got a whole hour, 45 minutes or so ahead of us. It's going to be really great. Steve makes us look easy. To be fair, that's because he knows what he's doing. So we're going to take a little break, but we're going to come back. Hope you'll join us then.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, you are listening to Steve Brown, Etc. By the by, are you on our email list? Let me tell you, all the cool kids are. It's called Key Life Connection. Sign up, and then once a week, almost every single week, we'll send you the best stuff that we put up at keylife.org. Plus, sometimes you get early access to content. Sometimes you get exclusive access to content. And listen,
the occasional free t-shirt.
Occasionally, you will get something free. Now, I don't want to lean on that too hard because it is occasional. But listen, sometimes we give you the hookup, but you can't get in on that unless you were signed up. So go to keylife.org/subscribe right now to get in on that. keylife.org/subscribe. And I did say Steve Brown, Etc. earlier, but it is actually Etc.
Zach is signing up
I'm doing it right now.
Thank you, Zach. This is what leaders do. They demonstrate. They go. They know the way. They show the way. They go the way.
He's only doing that because he's up next week teaching. He just wants early access to his stuff.
Oh man, and it's a good one. I actually don't remember what next week's going to be. So
they're all
we'll find
good.
Out together. We're going to find out together.
Well, it's 4th of July weekend. We're just hanging out, talking about our favorite country, all those good things. We're talking on the other side of the break about some of our favorite 4th of July traditions. We didn't get George's. I have a feeling, George, you have some kind of story, anything for us? What was life growing up with you?
I don't know. I mean, pretty consistently, like most of my years growing up, in addition to, I guess, celebrating freedom, 4th of July's like family, food, and fireworks.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything as cool as, you know, blow up an older relative.
I did not blow up a relative.
I think you allegedly blew her up.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of where Captain Hook got his...
well played.
But no, my dad grew up in Boone, North Carolina.
Oh, man.
And I was, we were from Knoxville. So we would always, on 4th of July, would always drive to Boone for a family reunion. So being up in the mountains where it's, you know, nice and cool, and they're putting together the picnic potluck lunch for, with garden vegetables and, you know, the country ham that my uncle made and, you know, so yeah, lots of fond memories. That was pretty much the one time of year that we would see relatives. That was because we didn't live necessarily particularly close to relatives. So they would all come together to my grandfather's house. And since he lived to be like 95, that carried on for a number of years. And those were always very fond memories of getting together and celebrating. And then, of course, we would get some fireworks or whatever and blow things up. But the best fireworks show I saw during that time was at the Tweetsie Railroad attraction. And that's one of those, you know,
the Tweetsie Railroad? The Tweetsie
Railroad? Oh, yeah. One of those old-time railroad type things that goes up and they have the old town and all that kind of stuff and activities and events and stuff. But they had a pretty decent fireworks show. So there was one time in particular that we went, I think it was just the cousins after somebody was old enough to drive, that went up to the Tweetsie Railroad thing and, you know, watched fireworks. So
that's awesome. That's cool. I, you know, growing up and still now, my uncle lives on a lake up in the Panhandle, Northwest Florida. And that was our go-to thing is we would drive up there and spend 4th of July water skiing, grew up water skiing, and just super fun memories grilling. I'd do it like a low country boil or some other kind of like delicious, awesome food that kind of gets cooked all afternoon. Look forward to that. But I remember particularly just a couple of years ago, we're sitting out, there's a little hill that leads down to the lake, and every year, people do fireworks around the lake and not just like go across the state line to Georgia, fireworks. I don't know where these people have sourced these materials.
The mail.
Their
the
basement.
Mail. They can get them from the mail.
They got them from Jinx.
right.
They are so beyond illegal. It's just, it's unbelievable. And
well, they could be professional.
They were.
There's a fine line between illegal and professional.
No, it clearly was. And for like an hour, somebody over in the corner in the cove had these things going off. I'm talking, I mean, the normal like small town or whatever does a fireworks. What is that? 20 minutes, 30 Maybe. Minutes. This dude was trucking for a full hour nonstop. I'm mentally nerdy dad is going like, how much money is that?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
5K. So
more.
way more. I'm like, that's 100. That's 200. But a storm rolled in. And so as we're enjoying these fireworks, all of a sudden this lightning dropped and lit the whole place up. We're like, all right.
God's like, watch this.
Yeah. He's like, God did a mic drop.
I thought it was going to be lighting up the fireworks.
Oh.
A lightning strike on the fireworks back. Yeah. That would have been fun.
It was super fun. There's something about fun and danger that seemed to flirt with each other all the time.
Next time you tell that story, Matthew,
Say
the lightning struck all the remaining fireworks.
Yeah.
And, yes.
That's how you got to end.
See, this is a professional speaker here going like, it's a good story, but you seem to be hung up on the facts. We need to polish it. We need to shape it. We need to knock off some edges. I sometimes hear Steve telling a story, and it is such a joy because you see It's like a jewel that has been polished and honed over the years. Mm-hmm. It's just been absolutely optimized. It's super cool.
And there's still some truth to it.
And the greatest part of all of that is that every time he tells it, it gets, it's like the, you know, how big was the fish you caught?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's like, what? Last month, that, you know, that wasn't like that.
That's absolutely the truth. That's absolutely the truth. Well, you know, it's funny with 4th of July and all of our stories, invariably, they seem to involve explosives. And, you know, I don't know if you know firsthand or secondhand or no hand, that they're dangerous. And that actually is kind of a nice little way of setting the table for what we're going to talk about in the next segment. That freedom is awesome, but historically, sometimes the bottle rocket goes off in our hands. Sometimes we take this gift of freedom and we kind of blink the whole thing up. What do we do with that? Why would God, knowing that we would mess things up, choose that way? Why would he go, here, take this? It's an interesting question. It's a question that's been discussed for many, many years. I have no doubt that when we come back in the next 7.5 minute segment, we are going to land on the definitive answer to that question of free will. You do not want to miss that. You are listening to Steve Brown, Etc. Minus Steve Brown. We're going to continue this action on the other side. Please do join us then.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
And thanks for listening to Steve Brown, Etc. If you want to see how the sausage is made, guys, go to youtube.com/Key Life Network. For the video version of this show. While you're there, make sure you smash that subscribe button, youtube.com/Key Life Network. This is Steve Brown, Etc., or should I say Etc.? Dr. Brown is away. I am your humble guest host slash rodeo clown. And since it's 4th of July weekend, we've been talking freedom. And we kind of set this up on the front side of the break. You know, giving us free choice, giving us the able to choose this way or that way has led to some problems, let's say, like right from the get-go. And the question arises, why would God give us that choice? As Steve might say, it's like giving the car keys and a bottle of whiskey to a bunch of 14-year-olds. Zach, is God setting us up for failure? What's up with that?
Oh man! Wow, you just all right, we're going.
He's the only one ordained in the room right now.
Oh man, I don't know.
Segment to get through all that theology.
Yeah, right.
And go.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that. I mean, where I thought you were going with the 14-year-olds and the whiskey is that now I do have a few teenagers, and that was a little too close to home.
I got a little real.
I didn't like that. But you know, there is a sense in which, you know, God, gives us the ability, to choose things. And we really want that. The thing that come to mind first, and this is an illustration that probably might get us into trouble, but I don't know if you've seen the movie Django Unchained. I'm not recommending the movie. It's a rated R movie, so I have not watched that about three or four times. Well, maybe it was in my wandering days that I watched it.
But friends.
It's a Quentin Tarantino film about this slave named Django. And somehow he gets kind of in the custody of this bounty hunter from Germany. And the bounty hunter says, if you help me come get these guys that I'm after, I'm going to set you free. And so Django agrees. And one night when they're at the campfire, Django begins to tell him what he's going to do with his freedom and how he's going to go back into the Deep South and he's going to get his wife back, who's still in slavery down there. And that the German bounty hunter's like, man, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, I don't think that's going to end well for you. I would not do that. And Django says, why do you care what I do? And the bounty hunter says, I've never set someone free before. And now that I have, I feel responsible for you. And so that always kind of struck me as much as you can make a gospel come out in a Quentin Tarantino film, that bounty hunter's view really helped me at least categorize something about God that I hadn't thought before. And that in giving us freedom, in setting us free, he also feels a great responsibility to us. He feels a responsibility to what we will one day become. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but that's the first thing that kind of came to mind.
I heard Steve say that quote one time, and I said, well, you know, and maybe it's a Mississippi thing, I don't know, but it's not that bad of a situation if they're in the middle of your pasture. So, you know, they can mess up as long as it's within within someone's control. And
we're not going to make a choice that he goes, oh snap. Oh,
got that one. Got
I did not see that, guys. That's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not ordained yet.
I didn't know they would do that.
No, right. We're not going to catch him by surprise.
Right.
Well, he's sitting up there with his angels. Hey, watch this.
Ultimate expression of, infinite creativity to be able to create something that is in one's image, God's image, and then has a degree of autonomy.
Yeah.
You know, apart from, talk about AI, artificial intelligence. I mean, this is light years beyond that we've been created and given a level of freedom that really suggests the majesty of God, just how great God is to be able to accomplish that. And of course we decide to screw it up, but apart from that, it's
Well, and that kind of goes with like even the thought, in Revelation it talks about how Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So what does that mean? It means that when God created us, when he made us in his image, he created us full well knowing what it would cost to save us. Like he created us knowing that we would make the choice to rebel, that we would make the choice to run away, knowing that ultimately it would cost the life of his son. And he still chose us. He still chose to create us. He still chose to be creative in that way. And so I think it's pretty amazing.
That is powerful. He gives us freedom. We're like, thanks. We're gonna choose bondage. And then he still, at great expense to himself, provides a path back to freedom again. It's like he kind of thought the whole thing through. Well, we know that this is a country that is prosperous, that is successful, and all of that has come from a founding in the idea of freedom. But there's no way that we can really talk about 4th of July and celebrate our country without taking a side road into looking at what 4th of July means in light of 2020. Hard conversation, necessary conversation. We are going to get into it on the other side of the break. Do not miss that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Steve Brown, Etc.
He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Thank you for hanging out with us. You are listening to Steve Brown, etc. If you didn't know, and you might not, you can also listen to us and rate us on Stitcher, on iHeartRadio, on Spotify, and iTunes. Listen, share, tell your friends, give us 5 stars. I don't know if there's 6 stars yet. Look for it. I don't know. There might not be there yet, but if there are, we 6, 7, however many you have to spare. We've been talking about.
And go ahead and give us those stars before you listen to the rest of this segment. Okay.
Just do that.
Go ahead and give us 5 stars now before we jump into this topic.
Before we dive into this next topic, just a fun fact. I don't know if you guys know what July 2nd is, what July 2nd represents. So July 2nd is the middle day of the year. So if you're like a psycho goal setter, like me, type A, totally wound up and accomplishments focused, that's a high holy day. So by the time you hear this, we are probably on the backside, on the back nine of 2020, which may be the most encouraging thing I've heard in a long, long time, which actually does serve as a segue to this topic. It's 4th of July. We're celebrating our country, but it raises a question. Is it okay to celebrate our country and our freedom in light of what's going on? Do we preclude that, or is it okay to go, yes, we love our freedom, we love our founding, we have work still to do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take a year off or something? I don't know. Thoughts, you guys?
Do we get free fireworks if we take a year off?
Yeah, we could bank them till next year and just totally go nuts. You know, I don't know. It's weird. It's in a weird kind of way. When I have been watching the protests, apart from whether I agree or disagree with what somebody says, I do take a step back and go, "Oh, this is actually awesome." When we're peaceful protesting.
Peaceful ones, yes.
Yes, and it does need to be specified which ones we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's, even if I disagree 1,000%, I'm like, what a great country where you can say that and don't have any fear of reprisal from a government or anything like that if you're not towing the party line. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it seems like it's... one of the risks, at least from what you hear from some commentators or, bloggers, writers, whatever, is that our knowledge of our history is declining precipitously. I mean, it's not apparently being taught in school, at least at the same level and understanding of the founding and the founding documents and so on. And of course, those very authoritative man in the street interviews where they catch people that, don't know what year the War of 1812 was. But it's it seems like when you lose track of the history, you risk not only knowing the mistakes that we've made, but how far we've come from where we started and what price has been paid for that. The hundreds of thousands of lives, for example, lost in the Civil War, fighting against slavery and the great cost that in the various wars that people have paid at all levels to maintain this level of freedom that people from all over the world still want to come here, especially from really persecuted countries where in fact slavery still exists.
I agree totally.
The erasing of any history that offends someone is driving me insane. We are a young country, and go to England and there's plenty of hundreds of year old just everything from castles that are still around, and horrible things happen in those castles. King Henry offed a few people in those places, and they're still there. We're not tearing those things down. There seems to be an implosion of emotion. And the people are leveraging their freedom to express this desire to remove freedom from everyone else. And it doesn't make any common sense. If we can figure out how to bottle common sense, we could pay off everything.
No one would buy it.
And I'm just so happy that one of the quotes that's being thrown around is actually a real quote. It says, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And that quote is used in everything from the gun control arguments to, do we go to war? Should we be allowed to protest? And, it's freedom isn't comfort. It isn't safety guaranteed. It's the ability to do anything and to have a right to do anything that is beneficial to you and not harmful to someone else. And, it's like people are taking that definition way opposite of that. I have the freedom to do whatever I want to you. You don't have the freedom to do anything to me. And that's the emotion that I see in social media and I see on a lot of these newscasts, and I try not to watch many of them. So people are like, "You're about this, you're about that." I'm like, "No," because I refuse to listen to it because it takes too long to research it and find out that it's fake. But the part that just keeps coming to the top is that it just completely baffles me that people just sling out the use of freedom against the very freedoms that we have. I don't follow that.
Zach, we joked about this a couple weeks ago about you were exercising some amendment rights, the freedom to assemble, the freedom of free speech. You've been kind of boots on the ground with some of the get-togethers and activities. What's your sense on these things?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and really trying to kind of answer maybe the first question you asked about what do we do this weekend, or what, how do we celebrate the 4th of July this year? I feel like as Christians, we have the ability and we have the tools to both celebrate and mourn, right? Mm. I mean, that is, we can celebrate the freedom that our country affords us, but also ultimately the freedom that we have in Jesus, right? Alongside knowing that we're all sinners and that we're all broken, and that there are things about our country's history that are worth mourning over. I mean, and part of the reason we have lament in the Bible is a way to give us to express lament and sorrow over evil and wrong that has been done. But it doesn't erase the history. It doesn't erase what is good about, things in our country. So to me, I feel like this year, maybe more so than other years, there's lots to celebrate, but it can be celebrating in a way that faces pain that goes along with that celebration. So
yeah, fantastic. Well, listen, guys, that's a really good discussion, but we have one segment left, and quite often it is the best one. You don't want to miss that. We're going to tell you who our guest is going to be next week, and it is one of my favorite all-time authors. So excited about this. Oh, you can't tune out now. You got to hang out. You got to hang on. You got to find out who this is. We're going to be right back. We'll see you then.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
And you are listening to Steve Brown, etc., and have been doing so for the last hour. That speaks highly of your intelligence, of your love for God, and strongly implies that you are above average in the looks department. So congratulations. We have been talking in this Freedom Week, 4th of July week, about freedom. The thing is, we always extol freedom, but we sometimes gloss over some of the other aspects of freedom that we've been talking about. Freedom is scary sometimes because if I have the freedom to make a choice, implicit is I am going to be responsible for that choice. Freedom is overwhelming because it's so big. You ever go to Netflix? You ever look at all the options? My brain absolutely crumbles and I go fetal. I need a freedom, but from a smaller menu. I need freedom like when I go to McDonald's. Pick anything you want from these six options. And freedom is problematic because, like we say, we kind of screw this stuff up on a regular basis. But all of that being said, when we look at freedom and how scary and overwhelming it is, would you not agree, though, it puts a sharp focus on God's character and his purpose? Because as we kind of alluded to, even in the midst of those things, God's pulling it all together. He's making all things work for good. He's ultimately weaving this all together in a way that brings him glory and accomplishes his purposes. In a way, if you think about it, that kind of sets us free because we don't have to trust in our goodness, which isn't there. We can trust in God's goodness. When we do that, we're not just free, we are free indeed. Kathy, who is our super extra duper special guest next week? John Eldridge in his new book called
Get Your Life Back. And the subtitle, interestingly, the subtitle on this book is Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad. How appropriate is that at this point, particular point in time? So hopefully it'll work this time. You know, he is a extremely busy human being, but we thought we had it worked out a couple times before, but we think the same thing this time. And so we're going to hope for the best.
We'll ask John if he's some kind of sinister puppet master, because right when his book comes out, everything starts going sideways. Mm, is anybody suspicious of that timing?
Yeah,
John,
really.
What are you doing? That's I think he's behind all of that.
He's got the inside scoop or something, right?
All really just one big promotional event.
That's all this is. It's all a big thing to sell his books. Guys, thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you guys here for making this awesome and fun. As said, good things on deck for next week. Please make sure you join us for that. Between now and then, be safe and stay dangerous.